Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there. And you're listening live on Blog Talk Radio to the Ben Solomon show, and well, I've been broadcasting for and I haven't been I'll try to reopen the chat in the browser, but I haven't been doing this for a while because, like before, I don't go on Blog Talk Radio. Here, I just had some thoughts in my mind. I had some, and so I decided to I decided to broadcast and just say what's on my mind, because a lot has been going on. And so I'm just opening up to make sure I'm in my chat room right now. So, okay, I'll just reload the page. But as I was saying, a lot's been going on in the world. I have strong views on the world. And so And so I decided to just go on and just say my view. This specific episode is not on any specific topic. It's just on whatever is on my mind. And so I'm just going to broadcast whatever is on my mind recently. I will be talking about what's going on in the world, specifically what's going on in politics and what I gather and what my view on what's going on and the information I gather and basically the conclusions I come to. Now, bear in mind, I'm only a human being. We're all humans. We all make mistakes. So I may be wrong, but nevertheless, I will say my viewpoint on this show, since this is my show. Now, first of all, I want to talk about like the whole Russia-Trump thing, which I think is merely an attempt to overthrow Donald Trump. Now, my views on Donald Trump, I have mixed feelings about Donald Trump. I don't think Donald Trump is not my moral role model. I don't think he's the most ideal person per se, but I would support him against the politically correct left. Now, to be honest, I don't think Trump is an agent of Russia. I think this whole Russia investigation thing is merely an attempt to overthrow Trump. Now, this is not to say Trump has not made any missteps. I mean, as for the Trump-Russia thing, here are some facts that are clearly undeniable. It's an undeniable fact that Trump does want to work with Russia on a number of issues, including on the issue of radical Islam, including on fighting radical Islam, including ISIS. Part is clear. And as for the recent intelligence links, I mean, the intelligence link is, the information is that ISIS wants to be able to detonate a bomb using a laptop. Now, I'm more afraid of what's on the intelligence, but one thing that does scare me with, I mean, because allegedly Israel gave Trump this, it gave the U.S. this valuable information, and if it really, that didn't want to share with anybody else, and if there's any real secret information that endangers Israel, the biggest concern, I mean, I'm not going to say applaud Trump's decision to share that intelligence information because because my biggest concern is that then that information could go to Iran. I mean, because since after Trump shared that intelligence with Russia, the biggest concern being that the intelligence could then go to Iran. Iran being the major threat. I mean, the Iranian regime is run by a fanatical regime that's dedicated to the destruction of Israel and also the destruction of America and the destruction of the West. And so my biggest concern is that Russia could give that intelligence to Iran. And so also I think it's also dangerous to endanger that special relationship with Israel, specifically when it comes to intelligence. Although Obama, I think, that's been worse for Israel overall, specifically when it came to, like, Obama condemning Israel whenever Jews spill anything in the eastern half of Jerusalem or in the so-called West Bank, and also specifically when it came to Obama refusing to veto that evil resolution, the UN, that he, by the way, has helped bring forward. But to return back on the show, I mean, I still think that this, I mean, first of all, all this information about, like, you know, like what Comey wrote in his memo, FBI then Director Comey wrote in his memo, Comey who has been fired. I mean, basically the allegations of Trump-Russia ties is mostly based upon anonymous sources. And including an anonymous reading of what Comey has allegedly written. Now, I think there's been some revenge going on and stuff like that. There's been some mudslung, but again, though Trump is not the most classy guy, and there's zero question that Trump has no problem publicly humiliating people, at the same time, it is also at the same time, there is also a big attempt to overthrow Trump, and I think that the reason why is because it shows how much control the politically correct left has gotten, and they feel, and the politically correct left, specifically the SJW, social justice warriors, feel threatened by Trump having control of the presidency. But if the SJWs are able to overthrow Trump, if those on the far left are able to overthrow Trump and bring this country to have under far left wing rule, it shows that it puts American democracy in danger. That's the bottom line. We have like a bunch of these, like the UN and specifically, I mean, I have zero respect for the UN. I have disdain for the UN. And one thing, I mean, specifically, the UN has voted to put Saudi Arabia a member of the Women's Rights Council, which is a complete joke. This is an example of virtue signaling from the UN. The UN has invited Anita Sarkeesian and Zoe Quinn, two senior SJW, social justice warrior representatives, to come before the UN to complain about how mean, to complain about people saying mean things to them on social media. And the UN came out with a whole report about cyber violence against women, i.e. people saying mean things to women on social media. Now, there's zero question that there are people who do say mean things on social media, including people who say racist things, misogynist things, misandrist things, anti-Semitic things, and whatever. I mean, there's zero question about that. But at the same time, to go before the UN complaining about that, putting the UN in control of social media But it's wrong and dangerous for a number of reasons. It endangers our sovereignty, America's sovereignty, and it also endangers our personal freedom as well. The UN, again, is an incompetent organization. As I said, I have more respect for dirty toilet paper. The UN is run by anti-Semites, puppets of radical Islam, and these virtue signaling, power-hungry globalist elitists. That's the bottom line. Now, the UN has also invited Emma Watson, the famous actress who played Hermione Granger in the Harry Potter movies, and who was also, I think, recently plays Belle in the recent Disney movie of Beauty and the Beast, to come before the UN to lament about people who don't consider themselves to be feminists. Never mind that the vast majority of people in the West and in America, the vast majority of people in America and the West who don't consider themselves to be feminists are not misogynists and believe in equal rights between men and women. They believe in equal opportunity between men and women. Now the truth is, the problem that they have with feminism, I mean, you see that, like, less women, for instance, consider themselves to be feminists, yet the vast majority of women support equal rights for men and women. They support having equal rights with men. Why would that be? The problem that the vast majority of people I mean, most people in America and the West who have problems with feminism, they're not at all misogynist, and they do support equality between men and women. The problem they have with feminism has gone radical. Ever since feminism has been hijacked by radical Marxists, though it started off as a legitimate organization, as a legitimate movement, excuse me, though feminism started off as a legitimate movement, the problem that the vast majority of people, the problem that people have with feminism has nothing to do with them being misogynist, which they're not. The problem is that feminism has gone more extreme left. And that problem has been there ever since it's been hijacked by radical Marxists. The SJWs in particular have turned feminism into a joke. The SJWs, social justice warriors, they're people, they're cultural Marxists with mental problems, pretty much, who feel triggered by every little, and they believe basically that the government should cater to their every little feeling, and they want anything that triggers them to be censored. That's the bottom line. Now, when it comes to the whole feminism thing, you know, you see that the radical feminism, the third wave feminism and SJW feminism, they come out with these first world problems like man spreading and sexist air conditioning. And, you know, this is why people have a problem with feminism. Because of that, because of the gender studies departments, which are male hating departments. Basically, people in the gender study departments go in there, quote unquote, learning how women are the victims of this patriarchy. It promotes the victim mentality, saying that women are victims of this evil patriarchy that's just there to keep them down. This SJW mindset has been poisonous for this country and for the world. It's been poisonous for gender relations and for race relations. Because you go around creating a victim privilege hierarchy where you're more heroic if you're victims and you're more so villains if you're privileged. White males are the ultimate villains. They're privileged, whereas black females are the ultimate victims. And then comes the whole LGBT roughly around where that is. And so that's why people have a problem with feminism, not because people are misogynists, which they're not. I mean, granted, they are misogynist people in America and the West, but the vast majority of people who have problems with feminism are not misogynists and support equality between men and women, and support equal opportunity. The reason why most people say I'm not a feminist, who don't consider themselves feminists, are not feminists, is because feminism has gone batshit crazy. But nevertheless, the UN invited Emma Watson to lament about people in America and the West who don't consider themselves to be feminists. And yet this is proof of the UN being, the writing of the UN being, you know, like hypocritical and stuff like that, and being a shit organization that's been on the wall for a while. But this is ultimate proof that, like, you know, on women's rights, the UN is hypocritical. The UN, for the virtual signalers, the UN the UN voted to have Saudi Arabia, a country where women are not allowed to drive, and a country where women cannot even leave the house without their male relatives, to be a member of the Women's Rights Council in the UN. I mean, the human rights councils in the UN are composed of dictatorships. The UN spends their time singling out Israel, condemning Israel, and yet they invite Saudi Arabia to be a member of the Women's Rights Council. Saudi Arabia, where women have no rights, women are not allowed to drive. Women have to go out with their male relatives, and their Saudi minister even one time said that, like, you know, that women should not drive if they don't want to be raped. Can you imagine if any white person, if any white male in America or the West has said that, this would be all over the front page of the leftist media. If any conservative politician said that, or any pro-life conservative politician said that, it would be in the front page of the leftist media. You hear nonstop reporting about it from the New York Times and from that, and from the crap news network CNN and from MSNBC. But because, you know, it's a Saudi minister and stuff like that, you know, and Saudi Arabia being a member of the Women's Rights Council, you know, suddenly, you know, the so-called champions of women's rights, these radical feminists, don't care about that. The question is, for all these harpies who marched in the Women's March against Donald Trump, the question I have is, why were they not protesting against the UN, including Saudi Arabia, as a member of the Women's Rights Council? Now, let me give you some background. Here's some examples of hypocrisy in the Women's March. You know, Millie Weaver, who's a female journalist herself, she's a journalist for InfoWars, which is a conspiracy site, but nevertheless, I think she's a good journalist because she doesn't just, I'm going to, of course, you know, tell you what she did, and then, because she really, of course, exposes the truth as opposed to just saying it. She shows it, usually. I watched some of those videos of Millie Weaver reporting, and, you know, and my impression is she doesn't just say what's going on. She shows what's going on. She goes up to people, talks to them, and shows clearly what's going on. And so she did that with the Women's March, specifically when over the question of the hijab. Now, my view on the hijab is I'm not for banning the hijab. I acknowledge that, yes, there are Muslim women in the West who choose to wear it, but also women in Muslim countries like Iran and Saudi Arabia are forced to wear it. I mean, yes, there are women, there are religious Muslim women in the West who choose to wear it, but the hijab has also been used to oppress women and keep women down, particularly in countries like Iran and Saudi Arabia. But when it came to the Women's March and the fact that, like, you know, that these people, that supposedly they were demonstrating for women's rights and then they were donning on the hijab to show solidarity with Islam. Even though the hijab has been used to oppress women, and Millie Weaver pointed out that in countries like Saudi Arabia, women are forced to wear the hijab. I mean, Millie Weaver went to a women's rights march, to one of the women's marches against Donald Trump, and she pointed out the fact that in countries like Saudi Arabia, women don't have a choice in the matter, and they're forced to wear the hijab. And the harpies over at that demonstration, they got triggered not at the fact that Saudi Arabia forces women to wear the hijab, but they got triggered because she didn't mention those facts. And so they condemned not Saudi Arabia, but her. And you can see them right there. They tried to grab Millie Weaver's mic. Because she said that in countries like Saudi Arabia, women are forced to wear the hijab, and so they tried to grab her mic. She didn't just say, "Oh, if I go over there and say the facts that, you know, that women in Saudi Arabia are forced to wear the hijab and they don't have a choice in the matter, that they're going to try to grab that mic." She didn't just say it. She went there, and that's what they tried to do. They tried to grab her mic away because she didn't say the truth. Now, the first Women's March has been organized by Linda Sarsour, Linda Sarsour, who is pro-terrorist, who praises terrorists. And one time, you know, there was this, you know, one time also, there was, I think, this terrorist who wanted to go, you know, he had Pamela Geller, who is critical of radical Islam. She is against radical Islam, and she hosts these Draw Muhammad cartoons. And so there was one of these Muslim terrorists tried to go out and behead her, and then the police stopped him. And then he took his knife and tried to lunge the police, and so the police shot him in self-defense. I mean, I think this terrorist happened to be black, but basically Linda Sarsour said that the police murdered this guy is another example of police brutality against black people. It's basically what she said. You know, you have like this evil, you have Saudi Arabia where women can't drive, they can't go out without their male relatives. And yet, nevertheless, you have Linda Sarsour on Twitter, and she said, well, you know, Saudi Arabia has maternity leave. Saudi Arabia has maternity leave. As if, you know, we should overlook Saudi Arabia's overall human rights record against women because they have maternity leave. I mean, it's a pretty asinine comment. It's ridiculous. You got to be full of shit to believe that. But this is exactly the type of propaganda that Islamists engage in. This is the type of shit that the left promotes. I mean, we have the left believes that, like, we're sexist because, oh, we have, like, because men spread their legs in the subway, or oh, because some of the offices may have, because oh, women may be too cold in some of the offices due to air conditioning and all that stuff, makes us sexist. But Saudi Arabia, where women get stoned for looking at men who are not their husbands, where women can't drive, where women can't leave without their male relatives, and yet we have to applaud them because, oh, they have maternity leave. They have maternity leave. I mean, fuck that. Fuck that. It's what, I mean, sorry to curse, but that's all I have to say about that. Fuck that. She, Linda Sarsour has some ties to Hamas. I think she posed for, I think, with someone who actually was in Israeli jail for recruiting for Hamas. She also praised this, I think, Islamic Jihad terrorist leader and tried to get him free, or this Islamic Jihad recruiter. She praised this Islamic Jihad recruiter and tried to get him free. So this is the woman who organized the first Women's Rights March. The second Women's Rights March was one of the organizers of that march was an Arab terrorist who was a member of the PFLP, and she took part in terrorist acts against Israel. She took part in an Israeli attack against an Israeli supermarket, killing Israeli students. And I think she took part in, I think it was two attacks in 1969. And she's been going around saying that, oh, that her confession was supposedly because of torture, which I think is bull crap. When in reality, actually, I think Palestinian Media Watch, which monitors the material on Palestinian media and stuff like that, actually, they there's an interview of they posted an interview where Palestinian TV where one of the other terrorists took part in that, I think, bombing a supermarket in 1969, actually listed her as an accomplice. But they were basically, you know, like portraying that act as heroic. And you know, and she was, of course, and she was listed as like someone who took part in the attack. And so to cap this, of course, why would those harpies from the Women's March not go before the UN to protest against the UN, including a country with serious, where women have no rights as a member of the Women's Rights Council, despite the fact that that's a very insult to the cause of the women's rights? Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? Plenty of reasons. The Women's Rights March there, it's a perfect example of the leftist Islamist alliance. A perfect example of that, because it's organized by radical Muslims, radical Marxists, and Palestinian terrorists. And, you know, the people who go there with pink hats are some of the most clueless, mentally constipated, brain-dead people out there. They're clueless. They have no fucking clue what's going on in the world. None. They think Donald Trump is going to take away their rights, and yet they basically try to grab a female reporter's mic who basically says that just because she dares to tell them some facts about Saudi Arabia, women being forced to wear the hijab, women having no rights there, they try to grab her mic, and yet they're focused on Donald Trump. Donald Trump's not going to ban women from driving. Donald Trump is not going to force women to, is not going to forbid women from leaving without their male relatives. Donald Trump's not going to stone women, but because he said mean things to them, now that's he said mean things about some women, and he also said mean things about some men. That's now, and not justifying Donald Trump here, but now suddenly, that's worth having a big march protesting over the results of an election. It's so funny how the left has been making fun of Donald Trump for this election, saying, he's not going to accept the results. Hillary Clinton was saying, he's the first candidate who will not accept the results of the election, all because Donald Trump says he would have to see for himself about the results. And they were saying, he's not going to accept the results. He's not going to accept the results. Donald Trump won, and now he sees the left not accepting the results of the election. These far leftist SJW, social justice warrior snowflakes, went around rioting in Portland like crazy. Like crazy. They went around rioting like crazy. These leftists went around rioting like crazy. And you have, some of the people rioting, breaking windows of, Starbucks and the Bank of America, in reaction to, the inaugural address that was going to happen. There was one of these triggered snowflakes. You can see it was hilarious. He yelled right when it was announced that Donald Trump was the next president. He went on his knees and yelled, "No!" It's fun to watch. It's fun to laugh at that, at people like them. I mean, to be honest, because that's all you can do is laugh at them. Because, you can't argue logically with them, because it will make your brain go crazy. You can't really argue logically with them. You can only laugh at them. And so the Women's March is in response to, to Donald Trump's election victory, where, Madonna talks about assassinating Donald Trump and stuff like that. They have all sorts of vile stuff there. And I think there was one of the women there said Donald Trump's going to take away our rights. And you see, the women there are apologists for radical Islam, where women have no rights, where, in the Muslim world, where rape victims get murdered on killings for being raped because they lost their virginity, supposedly, even though they were raped. And so you see stuff like that going on, as I said. Here's, again, this is, of course, but to go back as to why, I think the question is, why would why is there no women's march against the UN, including Saudi Arabia as a member of the Women's Rights Council, as I said? I mean, I was thinking with the original question, one reason is because you see one of the organizers being Linda Sarsour, who of course says that because Saudi Arabia allows maternity leave, therefore they respect women's rights, is basically what she was saying. Even though they stone women for looking at women after husbands, women can't drive, women can't leave without their male relatives, and she, you know, and stuff like that. But no, they have maternity leave. I mean, never mind that. Like, women in Saudi Arabia are viewed as just baby-making machines for men, and stuff, and stuff like that. It's viewed as baby-making machines for men. I mean, of course they will have maternity leave because, I mean, there's probably hardly any women in the workplace over in Saudi Arabia. To be honest. But one of the organizers being Linda Sarsour, like, excusing the Saudi Arabia's atrocious human rights record with, oh, they have maternity leave, and she says, like, her tweet is, oh, they have maternity leave and you're worried about women driving. I think the Israeli ambassador, I think I heard this, like, the Israeli ambassador responded, well, in Israel, women have maternity leave and can drive. But the bottom line with that whole thing is, you know, is, well, so you have Linda Sarsour excusing Saudi Arabia, excusing Islamic misogyny, while she says Jews can't be feminist, and, like, while she says supporters of Israel can't be feminist because supposedly Israel mistreats Palestinians, including Palestinian women, and feminism is about caring for all women. Well, you know, and yet Linda Sarsour is an apologist for misogyny in the Arab Muslim world. She's an apologist for radical Islamic misogyny. So you have Linda Sarsour, the organizer, as number one. Number two, a perfect example being that the women, that those harpies, they're dressing in the hijab to, you know, like, even though what that has to do with promoting women's rights is beyond me, even though it's been used to oppress, even though it's used in countries like Iran and Saudi Arabia to oppress women, to grab a female reporter's mic, because that female reporter dared to tell them the fact that in Saudi Arabia, that in the Muslim countries like Saudi Arabia, women are forced to wear the hijab and have no rights there. And so they try to grab her mic because of that. They go after her and try to grab her mic because she dared to tell them facts that they find inconvenient. And so when you look at the people there, the people, the organizers, the people there, there's not any shred of condemnation for radical Islam and the misogyny coming from radical Islam in the Muslim world. Not a shred of condemnation for that in the women's march. Not a shred. As I said, their focus is, I mean, now I'm saying redundant, and yet their focus is, oh, Trump said some mean things. Oh, he said some mean things. La, 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 la. And it's always, and then the left will say, they want to focus more on the U.S. and stuff like that. Well, you know, the left has a lot of respect for the U.N. They want the UN more in charge of our affairs, and yet how come they don't protest with the UN, including Saudi Arabia as a member of the Women's Rights Council or the Women's Rights Commission or whatever? And basically, and the harpies and the dumb harpies in the Women's March not even issuing any protests because they're apologists for radical Islam. They're far left wing. It's not a Women's March. It's a leftist march. I mean, for instance, they would not allow pro-life women over there. Because, I mean, unless they happen to be Muslim, because it was not a women's march, it's a leftist march. No matter how much, I mean, they say they want to represent all women, and yet they don't want to represent women, and yet they won't allow women to distribute with them to come. I mean, the women's march really was an idiot's march, and a hypocritical march. It was an idiot's march, organized by terrorists and Marxists and Islamists. And a perfect example of the leftist Islamist alliance, a perfect example of that. And people on the left are in denial of these very facts. I mean, this whole Trump-Russia thing, I mean, as I said, the left made fun of Trump, oh, he's not going to accept the election results. He wins. And now the left is saying, oh, it was really a Russian conspiracy. It was Russia who put him in charge.
Trump was really Putin was the one who made Trump president. Well, because of what? WikiLeaks, which Russia allegedly, you know, like helped in hacking through DNC emails and releasing them to the world. I mean, there's no proof of any Russian involvement there. No proof. I mean, that's an allegation. That's all it is, an allegation. It's an allegation. And even if Russia was the culprit, it's still, I mean, Obama himself back then even told CBS that there was no of any Russian meddling in the election machines, no evidence of any meddling in the election machines. In other words, the election was fair and square. I mean, and so what if Russia did release that information? There was still plenty of dirt about Donald Trump in the election. Those far leftist media, those SJW snowflakes worked day in and day out to stop Donald Trump, and they worked day in and day out putting all sorts of nasty stuff about Trump, you know, saying that Trump was racist and even saying that he was a rapist and a pedophile. All that hard work. It took a video of like Trump saying some pretty trashy things, like him sort of, you know, being like, what's the word I'm looking for here? Like him being like Trump being on his high horse, but I think that's a too mild word. I think I'm using too mild word. Like him basically saying he can get away with grabbing women's butts because he's famous, and he said and his key word, and he said they'll let him do it. He said they'll let him do it. I mean, if they let him do it, it's by definition consensual. That doesn't make it moral. And I'm not saying that women let men grab their butts because they're famous. Because those men are famous. I mean, of course, I'm not saying that at all. Yeah, that's of course a ridiculous, stupid thing to say. It's a stupid, ridiculous thing to say. But to trying to find the right words to use, to what I am saying is that, well, I mean, if they let him do it, I mean, if they let him do it, then by definition it's consensual. It doesn't make it right. I mean, that doesn't make it morally right, but if they let him do it, it's consensual. If not, then he would have been guilty of assault. But Trump was not even talking about his past actions there. He was just saying, like, oh, because he's famous, he can do anything he wants and all of this stuff. And yes, and I agree that Trump was being a schmuck there. I mean, I agree, he was being a schmuck there. But the left took that and tried to say, oh, how he's guilty of sexual assault and stuff like that. But the point being is, there was all sorts of nasty, nasty, nasty stuff about Trump. To say that this election was unfair because of WikiLeaks and alleged Russian and because Russia was allegedly behind that, therefore Russia stole the election is absurd and stupid. It's absurd. I mean, this election 2016 basically focuses on the question of it's largely like, you know, an election of like largely like part of the battles between, I think, different values, I think. And it's largely, you know, a question of is America under far leftist SJW rule or not? Do these far left wing elitists and SJWs fully control America or not? Is America able to have a president who doesn't subscribe to those far left wing views or not? Well, the American people chose Donald Trump, and that was an effort even to overthrow him. After all that hard work in trying to stop him from winning the election, that was an effort to overthrow him. And that's what this whole Russia thing is about. It's not really, I mean, they don't care about Russia. Russia's just a convenient scapegoat that is used to overthrow Donald Trump. That's not to say Russia is good, and I think Putin is a bad guy, but I don't think he stole the election. I don't think Putin is. I don't think Trump is Putin's agent. now we have, like, anonymous sources say this, anonymous sources say that, and because somehow, because based on anonymous sources, we have the leftist media going nonstop, Trump in Russia, Trump in Russia, Trump in Russia, Trump in Russia, Trump in Russia. There's other stuff in the world they want to focus on, Trump in Russia, Trump in Russia, Trump in Russia, Trump in Russia, Trump in Russia. Why? Because they want to undermine him. And you also start picking these fights over, oh, you know, look at how little people came to Trump's inauguration ceremony. It turned out there was much more than the leftist media said, and then because Trump, you know, of course, started fighting with the media about that, when the leftist media started, you know, like, I mean, I'm not, I mean, again, I think that was a stupid argument. I don't really care about how many people go to the president's inauguration address. I care about what the president is doing. But the point is, I mean, I care about the president's policies more. I mean, the point is, I think what was a bigger deal, of course, is Benghazi, when, you know, when Obama and Hillary, I mean, after that foolish war in Libya, when we got rid of Gaddafi and in Libya fell into the hands of radical Muslims, and then what happened as a result of that is there was even intelligence information saying, I think, that, like, that the U.S. embassy was in a dangerous area, you know, I think in Benghazi. Like U.S. embassy work officials were even begging for more security, and Obama and Hillary Clinton did not provide that security, and they're watching as terrorists invaded the U.S. embassy and killed U.S. embassy officials, and then they blame it on some silly movie, and then afterwards they blame it on some silly movie mocking Mohammed, and they had the filmmaker arrested. And Obama came before the UN saying the decision does not belong to those who side of the Prophet of Islam. Which was, you know, more of this virtue signaling. It was more of a concern, but you see that the leftist media, their selectivity, the fake news emanating from them. And so I know I'm almost done. I want to conclude. This is just, sorry if not everything. I sometimes try to find the right words to describe what I'm saying, but I'm sorry if not everything sounds well put together. This is not a professional broadcast. This is just your average Joe broadcasting. Anyway, it's been a pleasure broadcasting this, giving my viewpoint. Anyway, God bless Israel. God bless America. God bless the free world. Take care. Bye, and I guess catch you the next show, whenever that is. Whatever that is.